From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, August 14th. I'm Abby Larico. Today, how the feds are aiming to reduce local gun crime, a new lifeline for a beloved eatery looking to come back, and we've had a lot of dogs on the podcast this week, but not everyone's pet is a fuzzy four-legged friend. In one St. Louis man's case, it's an alligator.
You know, I can hold her like a baby. She is my baby, so.
But owning exotic reptiles is not for everyone, and having these unusual friends carries additional responsibilities and draws some criticisms. We'll explore that coming up on The Gateway. State regulators have found issues with the water supply in some Metro East homes after years of these residents questioning the water's safety. Chlorine disinfects what comes out of the tap, but as St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports, water utilities in Cahokia Heights have been cited for using insufficient amounts of chlorine.
The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency last week tested water provided by Illinois American Water and the city of Cahokia Heights. The results come after resident groups conducted their own testing, which also found insufficient chlorine and E. coli in some water samples. Attorneys with the nonprofit Equity Legal Services worked with Centerville Citizens for Change and other neighborhood leaders to organize the state's testing. Kalila Jackson is a lawyer with Equity Legal Services.
Now we see the government taking real action, and we're going to hold them to them. So, yeah, we're hopeful that this is the first step in a long journey of getting this community the safe drinking water that they deserve.
An Illinois American Water spokeswoman said other testing has shown the water's safe and that the company's cooperating with state regulators. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The city of St. Louis will be getting additional help from its federal partners in fighting violent crime. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives announced yesterday that it's sending additional analysts and agents to the city to help address gun crime. The hope is that their expertise will lead to cases that go beyond one arrest. St. Louis Police Chief Robert Tracy says the surge will help the department as it works to bring more officers on board.
In the meantime, if it takes several months or, you know, a year and a half, why not take these resources and have them to do discretionary work that I wish we had to do that? I think it's a win-win situation.
The surge will last for 60 days. The ATF did not say how many additional agents and analysts are in our city. The Midwest Innocence Project says it's close to reaching its fundraising goals following concerns it would have to shut its doors. The nonprofit represents people for free, and as St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, it says the funding is needed to continue that work.
The organization lost funding and federal grants and had to cut about a quarter of its staff. The nonprofit provides free legal representation for people who say they've been wrongfully convicted of crimes. That includes Christopher Dunn, who was in prison for 34 years before he was freed for a murder he didn't commit. Project Executive Director Tahir Atwater said on St. Louis on the Air that though the group works in five states, this is an issue that stretches beyond political and state lines.
This is about how can states, how can the legal system partner with our organization, innocence organizations and clinics all around this country to prevent what happened to Chris, because it's still happening.
Missourians Lamar Johnson and Kevin Strickland were also exonerated through the Midwest Innocence Project. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
A new loan from the city is giving new hope to the owners of the Gelateria on South Grand, trying to rebuild after a fire significantly damaged its building. Owners Andy and Amanda Fair were approved for a $2.1 million Small Business Administration loan to rebuild, but required a 15% payment of the loan up front. And that halted those plans. The loan from the city, approved yesterday, will provide $300,000 to keep the rebuild going while the couple waits for the full SBA loan to be paid out. Andy Fair says work on the rebuild is ready to begin.
Our permits have been pulled for quite some time now. Cleanout has essentially been completed, and the demo company is champing at the bit, as it were, to get started.
The LDC loan has a 10-year span and a 4% interest rate. Missourians who want to become commercial pilots can now take classes at Columbia's regional airport. Students in the Moberly Area Community College's new pilot training program will use the same two runways the major airlines do when taking passengers to and from mid-Missouri. City of Columbia Airport Manager Mike Parks says the school's operations won't get in the way of commercial flights, though.
This is a great complement to what we're doing right now with commercial service. We've had United return to Columbia. We've had Allegiant Airlines start here. We continue to set monthly records. This will not have any impact on commercial operations out here.
The City of Columbia is leasing its old terminal space to MACC, which has undergone a significant remodel, now outfitted with classrooms and a flight simulator. People love their pets. Dogs, cats, hamsters. STLPR's Anison Krebs Carr has the story of some pets in the area that are perhaps less common, but are nevertheless loved.
It's a scorching Sunday afternoon in Forest Park, and the sun's beaming down as the temperature climbs towards its peak. A few people are still braving the day's blazing temps to walk their dogs. But there's another four-legged creature in eyesight. A 4-foot-long alligator wearing a turquoise leash and a harness decorated with flowers.
You know, I can hold her like a baby. She is my baby, so.
That's Tony Jennings. And the baby in question is his 4-year-old alligator, Dior.
She'll run from time to time, so I try to run with her. Yeah, I love to see her run. She wiggles a lot, so I love that.
Jennings said he's been into reptiles since he was a kid. Growing up, he says, his first exotic pet was a green iguana that he begged his parents for. His love for iguanas eventually turned into his love for alligators.
I had been having a dream for about 10 years, the same dream. The dream was constantly telling me, hey, go ahead and get you an alligator. So I tried it, got her, and here we are now.
State and local laws for owning exotic animals are a little sketchy. That's according to Angel Wintrode, director of the Bi-State Wildlife Hotline. For example, Illinois bans owning an alligator except for specific educational purposes. A gator of any size is illegal in the city of St. Louis. But according to Missouri state law, you can own a dangerous reptile without a permit until it reaches 8 feet long. Once it reaches 8 feet, the animal must be registered with local county law enforcement.
It's almost like saying that puppies and kittens are legal, but cats and dogs aren't. Because you know when you have a baby alligator, if you feed it, and if you care for it properly, it will someday be 8 feet.
Winchode said people rarely register their animals once they reach 8 feet, and that authorities will order the animal to be euthanized if they find it unregistered. She also says that there's a small percentage of people who spend the money, time, and energy to fully accommodate the needs of a wild animal.
If I truly love this animal, then isn't what's right for them to be wild? Like, isn't that what love is? And that's the tough part, where you're taking these animals that want to be wild and you're putting them in the living room.
Wintrow said that it's just sad for the animal. But Dan Wentz, a reptile doctor at Ferguson Animal Hospital, says most exotic animals brought into his office are well cared for.
Very seldom do you see somebody that doesn't take good care of them. And, you know, the few that don't is usually because of lack of knowledge, not lack of desire.
Wentz says there is more information available that has helped grow the responsible care of exotic animals. But he says people still need to research their animals' habitat and nutrition needs, among other things.
I encourage people, before they actually do the impulse of getting the pet, that they learn about the care and they get all the setup ahead of time. Because like I said, 90% of what I see is preventable.
Wentz says that getting the care wrong will cause the animal to suffer. Though Jennings sees Dior as part of his family, he wouldn't advise other people to own an exotic pet. He says right now Dior's bite strength is between 2,000 and 3,000 pounds per square inch.
She won't let go. I've yet to been bitten, and I say yet because, you know, further down the line, you never know.
Jennings says to avoid accidents, he's formed a relationship with Dior and can read her body language. Still, he says there's always a possibility of getting hurt. But for Jennings, his love for Dior outweighs any possibility of injury.
It is a wild animal, but it's still my baby at the same time.
Alligators typically grow a foot a year for the first 4 to 6 years of their lives before growth slows. Jennings says he's currently looking into a permit for Dior, who will reach about 9 feet fully grown. I'm Anison Krebs Carr, St. Louis Public Radio.
Yeah, that's 9 more feet of alligator than I could handle. Our Jonathan All edited that piece. Check out photos for that story at stlpr.org from our summer visuals intern, Charlotte Keene. She is incredibly talented behind the lens, and her curiosity, energy, and bright attitude have been such a gift to the newsroom this summer. Today is her last day, and we will miss you, Charlotte. Thank you. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. It's going to be hot still this weekend with that extreme heat sticking around, so be safe out there this weekend, St. Louis. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.